What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Self-Made Web Designer Podcast. So good to have you with me here again this week. Hey, have you subscribed? Have you left a rating and a review for the Self-Made Web Designer Podcast? If you haven't, I want to encourage you to take a second and do that, because by doing that, you're actually helping other people find the podcast who could potentially benefit from all of the amazing guests that we have on the show. I love what Jeff said. Jeff said, I had been considering web design as a side hustle recently, and when I heard about Chris's website and podcast, I thought it'd be just what I needed to find the help to get started. So far, all of the podcasts and guests have been incredibly helpful, and Chris has a knack for keeping the focus on the beginner. Can't say enough about this podcast, and if you are like me and want to get started in web design, this is a must listen. Hey, Jeff, if you're listening, I want to say thank you for writing that very encouraging note, and I'm glad that it is helping you on your journey. That is the whole point of this website, to help people who were like me trying to figure out web design and who are still like me today, still trying to learn on their journey and their web design career or freelance gig. Hey, this week we have a fantastic guest. I'm so excited for you to hear him. His name is Brad Hussey. And Brad was like a lot of us. He had a job that he didn't like. He didn't love the hours that he had to take away from his family. And so he looked for something else and he found web design. And that kind of escalated, and he actually ended up beginning to create courses for people to learn how to do web design themselves. And I have benefited from those courses. I have watched and followed Brad for a long time. He literally taught me how to build WordPress themes from scratch. I know you're going to love hearing from Brad. This is a two-part episode. We had to split it up into two episodes. There was just too much goodness. The first episode, Brad talks about his journey and where he is today. The second episode, Brad talks about a new thing that he is doing. He recently started a podcast called Marketing Ethically, and it's all about how to sell yourself with integrity, how to find clients and pitch yourself to them without feeling like a snake oil salesman. And if you're like most people in the world, you struggle with the line between bragging about what your accomplishments and what you can do and actually being real about your limitations. And so Brad talks about all of that stuff. He's got some great insight. He's struggled and wrestled with it himself. And I know that you're going to benefit from both episodes. Without further ado, here we go. Hey, Brad, thanks so much for being on the Self-Made Web Designer Podcast.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I just, number one, want to thank you for all the content and courses you have put out. I have been a Brad Hussey fan from the beginning of my freelance web design career. So really appreciate it. Bootstrap to WordPress on Udemy was something that got me going, and I still reference it to this day. So if you haven't taken one of Brad's courses, don't even listen to the podcast. Just go find something and just take it, because I guarantee that you will benefit from what he has to offer. Brad, I wonder if you could just take a little bit of time and just kind of tell us who you are, how you got to where you are, and the history of Brad Hussey.
Well, first of all, I appreciate your kind words. It's very kind of you. It's cool to see that, you know, my ideas of just creating some stuff and putting it out there as an experiment initially turned out to be quite helpful to a lot of people. So I'm grateful to hear that from you. So thank you. Whole thing out, really, I'd say like my journey into web design, web development, and then the online world as a whole started in 2009 when I went to college for an interactive design program. It was a two-year diploma program about interactive design, which was basically a catch-all term for saying we teach our students practical things like graphic design, movie editing, audio editing, web development, programming, some basic business management, you know, in the digital and online world. And it was meant to create kind of a multi-purpose sort of person who would either end up going and getting a job and working for a game development studio. So some of my friends are game developers, other people who are like managers at startups, people who went to start up their own things, freelancers, you know, designers, developers, a whole bunch of different people. So I went into that program knowing nothing and really just having an interest in computers and dragging and dropping websites, you know, with iWeb. And I thought, oh, it would be so cool if I could get a career in the tech field of some sort. It seems promising because at that point I'd only had a diploma in musical theater and I chose not to end up being a performing artist because it's not a very fruitful career path and it's very cutthroat. And I just, you know, long story short, I wasn't interested in doing that. So I needed to find something practical. And this program seemed like it. 2 years happened. I really took up a love for, fell in love with web development, front-end web development. I didn't know what that was at the time. You know, I learned what those terms were as I went along, but coding, designing and coding websites, the back-end stuff, kind of not so much. I'll leave that for the really super nerdy dudes, but, you know, and dudettes, but I really like designing stuff and then making it come to life on the internet. And I saw that it was, would be a useful tool. So in that journey of going to school, I realized I wanted to do it faster. It wasn't fast enough for me. So I started taking online classes like tutorials, just like text tutorials, basic YouTube videos to get better at coding, development, PHP, JavaScript, jQuery, any of these things, Flash as well at the time. And I started getting clients. I thought, oh, I could probably just get clients doing this as well, maybe make some extra cash. And so I just put myself out there and ultimately started getting clients throughout college. And after I graduated, I went and got a job as a front-end web developer at an agency. It was a pretty cool job. I got to do the usual, the small team, boutique type shop. It was really hipster style, you know, thing before hipster was really mainstream. And, you know, we're doing espresso, drinking beer, listening to like curated playlists on, you know, RDO before we started going to Spotify, all that sort of stuff. And then I kind of realized like, this is a cool path. I like this industry of online, you know, online digital marketing, web development, but I don't like working for somebody else. And not in like the, I get that that's really cliche, like hate your boss, quit your job, blah, 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 live your life. And I don't really subscribe to that anymore. I get that we need people of all different stripes to do different things, whether you're working for somebody or you're starting your own thing or anywhere in between. But mine was more so, I just always wanted to call it sappy, but just be with my wife. So we were recently married and I was just like, I don't know. I don't want to go. I just want to be at home. I just want to spend most of my life with you. And if I could work from home or work close to home, that'd be way better. And I just didn't like how I was treated as an employee. I think it might've just been luck of the draw. Maybe they weren't really good at managing people. So I'll wrap that part of the story to realize that what was happening was I was freelancing on the side from college all the way through that. Started getting really busy freelancing, just doing the side business, and started getting quite busy and realized at one point I'm working two full-time jobs essentially, and I'm getting no time with my wife. And then ultimately we became pregnant with our first child. And then I was like, all right, something's got to go. I'm either quitting this job or I'm quitting freelancing because I can't do both. And you know that there's a time limit now. So realized I think I can make a go of freelancing and ramp that up, figure it out, have an element of just, you know, leap of faith, but also being practical about planning it out. Made an exit strategy with my job, ultimately got them as one of my first clients when I left, helped them out in my transition to them getting somebody else on board to replace me, started freelancing. Our child was born. And then I started realizing that freelancing income is super up and down. So this is 2012 at this point. So a few years from college. And I realized, okay, freelancing income is inconsistent. It's up and down. I need to find a way to balance this. And I don't want to go back to a job because I like this lifestyle of being at home with everyone, but I got to find a better way of balancing this out. So I realized, okay, what have I taught, you know, what I'm doing? just share my experience and share what I know. I'm no expert, super, you know, crazy expert on these things, but I know a lot of things that other people don't in this, you know, in web design, web development, and I can teach it. I like teaching people things and being weird and being myself doing that. So I just recorded some videos, found Udemy, put this course up on Udemy, and people started buying it. So I thought, oh, this is cool. So then I would take requests. People would say, hey, do a course on, you know, CSS, do a course on, you know, jQuery, or, you know, do a course on web hosting, and just all these practical kind of lower level kind of introductory educational or elementary sort of concepts that are so hard at first. That's like the hardest learning gap, is getting started and figuring it out. And so then I thought, oh, I could do that. And so I started creating more courses and sharing that, doing client work. And then it started to get to the point where the courses required more of my attention than client work. So I started getting really selective with client work and only taking on higher budget clients, which meant I could work on like with one client every now and then, get good pay, and focus on creating and updating and keeping my courses up to date, helping the customers, answering questions, and improving the online education aspect of the business, which brings me, you know, closer to where I am now, which is less client work, although I'm actually starting to get back more, get more into that, but in a different way, which we can get into a bit later, and managing this online education business that I just kind of happened to stumble into just by sharing what it is that I know and wanting to teach it. Yeah, which brings me to today, which is like I'm freelancing. I got my online education business, helping people with marketing, doing consulting, doing like the usual stuff like building websites, but also teaching people to build websites, teaching people the business of freelancing, how to get clients, how to market yourself, you know, all that sort of stuff. And I'm here, I am still from home, figuring out as I go.
So you did a little bit of a mix of, you know, traditional education and then some online education. And then obviously you've got a, you know, big online education system yourself. And I know where the world is with the traditional education route. It seems a little bit rocky, you know, like things are starting to shift a little bit. So what would you say to people who are kind of, they're navigating, like, what is their next step? Should they go to college? Should they go to a boot camp? Should they buy an online course? How do you coach people who are trying to answer that question?
I can't speak from experience with, say, university. Now here in Canada, I'm assuming it's the same in the States. Are you in the States? Okay, so I don't know if it's exactly the same setup. It probably is, but here's how it works here. Is university is for those kind of higher level education, like if you're getting a Bachelor of Arts or a Bachelor of Fine Arts or a Master's or any of these sorts of things, and you're going a more educational approach. College is a more practical, you know, if you want to go get a trade or if you want to learn a specific skill, you know, you'd go to college for something like that. And so university is seen as higher level education. College is seen as practical education. And so I went to a college that was rebranded as a university because they, some red tape they were able to get passed. And so I technically went to university, but I got a college diploma. So I can't speak from experience of university, because what I'm pursuing, you know, is less of, you know, if I was going to be a doctor or lawyer or, you know, psychologist or something, yeah, you probably shouldn't DIY that. You should probably do it right. But when it comes to, you know, like if you're trying to get a trade or if you're trying to bootstrap a business that is just like self-funded, a self-startup sort of like figure it out as you go type of business. For me, I'm more of the, if you got to do some, if you're doing something like that, that doesn't require you to go to university, college is probably a good route because it's short and it's more practical and up to date, or figure it out yourself. That's kind of where I stand on that. So it depends on what you're trying to do. But when it comes to like, say, web design, web development, unless you want to go work at like a huge tech company and they need you to be like an ultra intellectual, crazy talented engineer. Yeah, I can't speak to that. I'm nowhere close to that. But if you're like, yeah, I want to get some clients, I want to build websites or web applications, or I want to build, you know, build a software company from scratch and I got a cool idea. We got a lot of information at our fingertips that we can just kind of start. And you can start it on the side to test the waters to see if it's even viable.
And I think a lot of people probably have a question in their minds of how much information is enough for me to know to actually get started, you know, and probably a lot of people second guess themselves about whether or not they're ready to just go for it and start charging or start putting a product up for sale. So when do you feel like somebody is ready to say, put a dollar sign on what they're doing?
When I started freelancing and getting clients, which was the service I offered, it was simply, you know, I'll build your website. I'll design your website, build your website, and throw it up online and manage it for you if you want me to do that. I did my first two client websites for Tradesies, trading something of value for them. And I kind of realized that right away, or I accidentally did the right thing. So I didn't just say, yeah, I'll do it for free because I'm eager for clients. I was like, no, I'm in school doing this. Like my everyday is building websites and doing digital marketing and coding and programming and all this sort of stuff. I got plenty of work to play around with, but I'm looking to like make money. That's what like my thought was. So I know that it's hard to ask somebody for money up front when you have no experience, chicken or the egg sort of thing. So I thought, okay, I'll do it for free. If you will give me, so the first client, he was a massage therapist. And I was like, I want free massages while I build the website. So he was like, all right, we'll do once a week massage for free in exchange for the website, which I said will take like 3 weeks or something. And so that worked out great. The second one was I did a simple PayPal e-commerce website, wanted to sell barbershop supplies. And he was starting up new, and I thought, okay, well, I want that really expensive, those clippers, which is actually what I did to shave my head just recently, that tool. So it was like a really expensive, high quality barber tool for just clipping your hair. And I was like, I want that, and I'll do your website for free. And he's like, sweet man, no problem. He probably got the better end of the deal, but that was enough for me to get confidence, get some experience, make some big mistakes with low risk. Then the next site was $500. And then the next site from that was 700, then 1,000, and then lots of $1,000 sites, then 2,000, just working my way up. So at what point do you start putting a dollar sign? I think you immediately start valuing what you're doing as valuable. So you don't just do it for free because people don't care. So if you just say, hey, I'll build your thing for free. I've done free websites for people before, and it's hard to get feedback. It's hard to get them on board. They don't care. They don't value it. Whereas if somebody has to give you something, even if it's just hair clippers or massage or groceries for a week, it's something of value. It's a trade. You know, it's not trading cash. It's trading something, their time, their expertise, their product. And it's a low risk barrier to basically asking for something. And then it gives you confidence so that one or two projects in, when you start to realize, yeah, I could do this, ask for something modest up front. It's okay to undercharge your first project. You don't have to be this like super good business person who's just like out the gate charging big prices for what you're doing. Just don't do it for free without something in exchange. The other person will value it, and you'll have something holding you to that. You know, that if they gave me something that's valuable to them, I want to make sure I do my best work. But it's not like they're giving you something like cash, which you feel too under pressure to deliver when maybe you're not quite ready.
So how do you coach people who, you know, they're ready to do that, they're ready to ask for something, but they're just feeling like a big sense of fear of rejection or overbidding or underbidding? And so they just find themselves, you know, kind of paralyzed in the midst of like, what do I do? What's my next step?
I obviously get a lot of people asking that, you know, I'm not confident to do this. I'm not confident to, I don't feel like I'm justified in charging for this yet. Or, you know, the classic imposter syndrome, you know, I'm not good enough to do this. I think there's a reality of, first of all, just kind of like approaching it with some humility and realizing, yeah, you're probably not that good right now. That's fine. You're going to look back at this time and see your first work, your first project, your first code, your first design, whatever it is, and go, man, I was really bad at that. But that's like, that's the the true sign of progress if you can look back and go, hey, that was really bad. I'm way better than that. If you look back and go, man, I was on point, you've made no progress and you're not seeing it. So first of all, understand you're not going to be very good at first. And that's fine because there are people who need not very good right now because they're not going to pay $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 for an ultra high-end product at the end. They just need someone who's going to like awkwardly get through a $500 project. So that's okay. It's okay to not feel good enough. It's okay to feel like you're not worth charging something. Rest assured, if you care and you know a little bit more than your client, who's in an early stage too, starting something up, they don't have cash. They don't even know if their business is going to succeed. It's probably somebody like that. They don't care how good you think you are or not. They just want someone to take care of it because they don't know how to do it. So you're already an expert to them. And then you realize like, it's okay. It's a safe playing field to start, you know, if you ask for money and you get declined or rejected, that's okay too. It's okay. It's probably good for you to hear no a few times because you're going to hear it all throughout your journey of asking for money, of charging for something, of overcharging, of doing something and having somebody say no or rejecting it. To protect yourself from that is just not developing grit, not developing, you need that. You need a bit of a thick skin when asking for money. So my wife jokes to me sometimes that she, you know, we'll go to a farmer's market or something like that. Or, you know, we had our sprinklers redone in the backyard or in the yard and it's going to be more expensive than we thought. And then she'll joke, she'll be like, oh, I can't ask for like a discount or tell or bargain with them. That's their price. And I, at this point, have no problem either bargaining with somebody, haggling them down, pushing them on their price, or asking for money. So I have no problem doing that. And that's just simply by doing it, by getting used to the weird, uncomfortable conversation of asking for money and then getting rejected or having somebody push back on your price. You know, or trying to say, hey, I don't want to pay. I don't value what you're charging. I don't think it's worth that. Here's why. How can we find a better arrangement? Just doing it, getting to experience no, and, you know, developing a thick skin and grit. So I guess to sum that part up, that answer, it's okay to hear no. You are good enough to charge. You're probably not going to be very good at first at your craft, but you just have to get started because eventually you'll get better and better and better and it'll get easier and easier to hear no, and it'll be easier for you to ask for money and charge higher prices because you'll realize, yeah, no, what I am doing is valuable.
So, you know, having grit, having a thick skin, being okay with hearing no is obviously a key component to finding success as a freelance web designer. And you've coached probably tons of people when it comes to either freelance web design or freelance in general. What are some other components as far as mindsets or techniques or skill sets that you have seen that have helped people be successful as freelancers?
Yeah. So I think just showing up, first of all, and doing your thing. So show up and push through the difficulty. If it's worth pursuing, it's worth struggling for. If it's something that you care about, if it's something that you want to do and you feel called to it, or you feel like it's what you want to do and you want to work towards it. If it's worth doing, it's worth struggling through it, you know? And so show up and do it even on the hard days. And when it comes to say the mentality or, you know, approaching the mindset of doing it, yes, it is different than, so starting your own thing, starting your own freelance web design business, freelance web development business, you know, freelance business offering a service. It's difficult and it feels like an uphill battle and there's a lot of competition and there's always somebody who's way better than you. There's always somebody who's successful or appears to be successful. There's a million things that'll make you feel like you should just stop doing it. But there's only one you, and you can have a unique approach. So if you're copying somebody else, because you feel like their approach is better, then all you are is a copycat. And then, yeah, your feelings of not feeling good enough, the mindset of, you know, like they're better than me. Yeah, you're right. You're right. They are better than you, or they, because they're doing their thing and you're trying to copy them. So they're always going to be better than you at that. Whereas when you just do your own thing, you lead with you, you lead with who you are and with your unique personality, set of skills, take, you know, on what you're doing, then you're already carving out a spot. And then you get to use the tools and your skills to augment that and to make it special and to make a go of it. So don't try and, you can model other people, but don't copy them, because you will never be good enough then. And you will always be justified in feeling like you're not good enough, because you're just trying to, you're being a fraud. And I mean that in like a really honest and loving way. Just be who you are and try your best at what you want to do, versus trying to copy somebody else because it looks like they're successful and happy doing it.
It's such a great point, and I think, yeah, really will resonate with a lot of people listening. So the question that comes up in my mind is, if I'm not copying, if I'm not, you know, trying to do exactly what someone else has done, how do I find my unique voice and my unique place in what seems like a sea of other freelancers who are doing exactly what I'm doing?
That's a great question, and something that I'm still, as of, you know, like 2020. So I started in this whole, like my beginning of this journey for me was like 11 years ago, which is crazy to think about, because I still feel like a beginner in so many ways. I'm still figuring that out. And I think in some ways have started to find that voice and that unique take. And in other ways, I'm starting to look and go, man, I still have a lot to learn and how to peel back layers of trying to look a certain way or be a certain way or be perceived a certain way. And so I'm still working on that. But what I have learned with because it's easier to look at somebody else and go, I see how you could just do these few things and you're already going to be more unique and more interesting and stand out. But when you look at yourself, it's hard to see, you know, the forest for the trees, as the saying goes. So what I say to people is, you know, everybody's unique. Everybody's got a unique voice. Everybody's got a unique personality. And when you, I'm terrible at metaphors, but I'm going to try this. So I have a theater background, and there's two versions of me when it comes to performance. So when I'm just talking to somebody like here, I don't feel like I'm performing, you know, or I'm talking to somebody in person or a friend or my children or my wife. I'm just me. I'm just talking. I'm not like on and doing like a character or something. But when it came to acting and performing, like especially on camera or in front of an audience, it was like different person. And part of that is just an actor's approach. You know, you like method acting, you get into the character of who you're doing so you could pretend to be that person. But it was like a clear difference in me. And so I found it with film acting specifically, when I knew there was a camera on me, my performance and my acting was poor. Whereas I thought, if I could act this scene out and know there wasn't a camera there, it would be so natural. It would be so good. And my interpretation of this character would be really well done. As soon as there's a camera, I look at it and I go, man, I'm a bad actor. I'm not really good at this. I'm trying to put on something and it looks fake. Now, when it comes to finding your voice and doing your business and building something, it's kind of the same thing that I see when someone has like the so-called camera on them. I'm starting my business. I have to do what business people do. I have to market I have to find clients. I have to do this. I have to compare my prices. I have to, oh, that person looks like a successful web designer. I have to learn those languages, or I have to make my portfolio site look like that. It's like you've got the proverbial camera on and you're not being yourself and you're faking it by copying what other people seem to be doing successfully or not, whether you realize it or not. But when you kind of take that off and you take the pressure off a bit, and it's like, take the camera away. Pretend it's a dress rehearsal in a way. Pretend you're just doing this, not because you want to be perceived a certain way or you're trying to like put on a front, but just do it because it's authentically something you care about. And then it starts to get easier to find who you are when it comes to building your business. So if you're writing, your first writing is probably going to be bad. Like if you're blogging, your first few posts are going to be bad. But if you keep going, you're going to start to find how you like to write, your voice, the way that you communicate an idea. When you do videos, same thing. You're going to start out looking awkward, sounding awkward, feeling awkward. And then as you do it, you start to pull away the crud and you start to get more comfortable on the camera, so to speak, whether you're actually on a camera or writing or, talking with a client. It starts to become more natural. And then who you are comes through more authentically, because it's exhausting to pretend you're something you're not. And eventually you just let go of that. You go, I'm not that. I don't like those types of clients. I don't like those types of projects. I like writing rather than video, or I like, working on these projects rather than these projects. Instead of me pretending and trying to be like what somebody else is, you start to peel away and then eventually kind of emerge more unique. And I know that that's not like a really practical, here's your step-by-step approach, but I guess my answer to that would be, there's something unique in there, but it takes pushing through the inauthenticity before you start realizing you could peel layers back.
Brad's journey is so inspiring. And I know probably a lot of you are wishing for the day that you can look back and see the kind of success that Brad has had. And let me just encourage you, you can do it. Keep going. Brad's story is certainly incredible, but it doesn't mean it's not doable. Next week, Brad's going to talk to us a little bit more about his new venture that he's doing. He's going to be bringing the realness, bringing some really hard questions and some things that we all wrestle with when it comes to our integrity in business. And I know that you're not going to want to miss out on this. So next week, it's dropping 12 a.m. Don't forget, if you don't quit, you win.